Welcome back to More Than Money and 770 CHQR. And Andrew, have you heard of this anti-retirement movement?
I haven't personally, but I think that's probably a movement that's going on a very long time, depending on who you talk to, Faisal.
I think working with Dave Popowich is an anti-retirement movement, isn't it? There's no way we're going to be able to retire if we're working with him. But this is an interesting concept. I definitely want to dig into it because I think this is where things are headed in the future. And so let's bring our guests on, Patty and Millage Hart, co-authors of The Revolutionist. Welcome to the anti-retirement movement. Patty, Millage, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Great to be here. Thank you.
I'll start with you first, Patty. Let's go to what's the difference between this traditional view of retirement and how do you guys see retirement?
Well, I mean, I would say, first of all, we would start by saying it's not your parents' retirement, right? Mm-hmm. It's, you know, the world of retirement is changing dramatically. We have extended our life as human beings by 30 years in the last century, and we're living longer and we're living healthier. We also are a generation moving to retirement that created more wealth than any generation that came before us. So we have the resources and the knowledge and the desire, I think, a real shift to move to a new phase that we call your resolutionist phase, to really spend your time continuing to grow and learn and give back and contribute, but very different than the retirement of the generations before us.
So what do you think about that, Millage? I mean, how do you, what do you see as the anti-retirement movement?
I see it as the baby boomer generation is a very large generation. And as Patty mentioned, has worked really hard and has developed tremendous, not only skills, but resources. And we see this group of people entering retirement with likely living much longer than their parents did. We've added 30 years of life over the past 100 years. So more of that time's in retirement. So I think what we're going to see is this group of people who is ready, eager, still healthy, still energetic, and ready to give back, not only to family and friends, but also to companies and to nonprofits.
And so, Millage, I kind of want you to take a second step at that one as well. Why do you think this is becoming more and more prevalent? Like, what's incurring the change? Because when we talk to a lot of our clients who are retired, let's say they're in their 80s, Andrew, yeah, 80s, yeah. The rocking chair on the front porch is their vision. When you talk to our 65-year-old clients who are retired, if I mention the word rocking chair, I'm going to probably get something across my face. So, Millage, from your perspective, why do you think this is becoming more and more prevalent? What's happening with this change?
Because thinking about sitting in a rocking chair for 30 years, which is the amount of time people will have in retirement, is overwhelming to think about and not at all interesting. And as we leave the workforce, sometimes at an earlier age now, I left the workforce at 50 with hopefully a runway of 30 years. And so I really think the opportunity is there to continue to work, to give back, and to help more with a portfolio of things instead of just a full-time working thing. And so that's why I think it's huge. In addition to that, I think technology is really paving the way for us to move well beyond our community and reach out and touch and help people around the world without just being stuck, you know, in one small specific area.
Yeah, I think to add to Millage's comment, I think, sure, you know, movements, whether it was the women's movement or civil rights movements or whatever, that we've seen in our lifetime, they require mass. And I think the timing is so perfect right now with the baby boomer generation providing that mass, along with, you know, the women's movement is now putting more women into retirement from full-time work than ever before. So you have, in many cases, couples that are both retiring from work as opposed to one retiring from work. So, you know, when you come from a family like Millage and I, where we both worked, you know, 50-hour work weeks for, you know, our entire life, and now we're both coming into this, there is a real desire to continue to be relevant, to continue to be measured, to continue to contribute. And you know, that's a big change, because I think you have more women participating in this retirement movement than you ever have.
Yeah, and Patty, when you talk about the retirement movement on the money side of it, just because I'm kind of interested in that, is it seems that everybody's going to retire at a certain age, or is that changing as well, moving to a different age, or is it just a need in general that they want to retire and continue to contribute?
I think it's a broader band of age now. It was, I think, if you think about generations before us and people coming out of manufacturing and blue collar roles primarily, it was all, you know, done and organized by your collective bargaining, how long you would work, when you would go out, what your, you know, benefits would be when you went out. And that's really kind of falling away a bit. I think also you have now, because of technology, as Millage indicated, you have the opportunity to contribute work, generate wealth for yourself at a distance. So I think many people are moving to what I would consider to be a portfolio life, where you're not done earning wealth and adding to your nest egg, but you're not committed in the same way to one mission, but now you're moving forward many missions.
Millage, Andrew and I both have young children, and then hopefully one day they leave our house and they get a job. And I can only imagine he's got two boys, I've got two girls. I can just hear the four of them saying to us, "You old people are taking our jobs. We're done university or post-secondary education. You're still in the workforce. You're still, quote unquote, contributing. We don't have a chance when we're competing with someone who's got so much years of experience." And would there be an anti-movement to the anti-retirement movement and saying, let the younger generations get in and let you and I and everybody else, quote unquote, the old folks, get out of this way of contributing by still being in the workforce?
First, I want to wish you luck in getting the children out of the house, because the trend on that is not going in your favor, guys.
Thanks.
My pleasure. But to answer the question, I think with how Patty and I are looking at it and how other resolutionists and anti-retirees are dealing with it, it's more of a portfolio thing. Well, we're not in the workforce full time, but we have more of a portfolio. So I don't feel like Patty or I, with what we're doing, are taking up the job that our son would want. And because we're working with company boards, we're working with nonprofits, and we're trying to move the world forward in that way. So I don't feel like the anti-retirement people will be taking up those kind of jobs, because it's not necessarily and typically not a full-time job.
Well, this conversation is going to go on for, I think, a few more decades, considering the demographic changes and so forth. Patty Millage, I want to thank you so much for joining us today and starting the conversation, at least on our show, about how this anti-retirement movement is going to happen. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's our pleasure.
Thank you.
We've been joined by Patty and Millage Hart, co-authors of The Revolutionist. Welcome to the anti-retirement movement. And you know what? It's all about lifestyle and choice. Andrew,
it is.
And as people start to transition to and live in retirement, they want to have the freedom of choice to do what they want to do in retirement, which may be contributing in a non-financial way. So they may not be employed through their retirement years, we'll call it that. And so how do you bulletproof that? How do you protect that cash flow so you can do whatever you'd like to do? We're going to discuss that on Tuesday, March 23rd, 7 p.m. live online. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register. Now, here's an interesting story. What if you are in a common law relationship here and you do not have a will and your common law spouse passes away? Are you going to lose all your money to somebody else? Does the government take it? We're going to find out after the break. Join us right after on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.